A selection there from the opera Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss Jr. The opera was staged last summer as part of the 2016 Hot Summer Nights Music Festival from the Missouri Symphony Orchestra. Christine Seitz directed the performance, and she's my guest on intermission this evening. In that last selection, we heard from the resident opera artist from 2016. That class included Mary Kettlewell, Lacey Sauter, who was my guest on the show last week, Nathaniel Hine, and Daryl J. Jordan. Stick around. We've got the conclusion of Act 2 to Die Fledermaus after intermission and an excerpt of my interview with Christine Seitz. Here, Seitz gives us a rundown of the plot for Die Fledermaus, and after the interview with Seitz, we'll have second half of Act 2 from Die Fledermaus. You're listening to the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour on Classical 90.5.
The backstory is that this was the first summer in a while that the Missouri Symphony Society was able to bring opera back into their programming for their Hot Summer Nights series. And Kirk Trevor and I had talked on a couple of occasions about instituting a program for resident opera artists. And that last summer was the first summer that happened. There were four young singers who were chosen to be these resident opera artists, and they sang the leading roles in this production of Die Fledermaus, and then they were also involved in many other aspects of programming through Hot Summer Nights, family concerts, patriotic pops, etc. But in this Fledermaus production, Lacey Sauter sang the role of Rosalinda. Mary Kettlewell sang the role of the maid Adele. Nathaniel Hine sang the role of Eisenstein, Rosalinda's husband, and Daryl Jordan sang the role of Falca, Eisenstein's best friend. Backstory for the opera, why is it called Die Fledermaus, which means the bat? In a previous year, Falca and Eisenstein had been to a costume ball, and Falca had been disguised or dressed as a bat for that costume ball. Eisenstein got Falca very, very, very drunk and, on the pretext of walking him home, dumped him on a park bench in downtown Vienna. And on Sunday morning the next day, there was Falca waking up on a park bench with all the Sunday morning go-to-churchers walking by and laughing at him. So Falca had been harboring the resentment for this for a long time. And he had finally created a sting that would get Eisenstein back. And that is what this whole show is about. So it's good fodder from comedy, from operetta. It's the stuff of those kinds of operetta plots. So here we are in the middle of the show. The plot is underway. Eisenstein has been arrested at his house and is supposed to go off and serve a 2-week jail term for yelling at a judge in court over a traffic fine or some such nonsense. And Eisenstein's friend Falca has told him, look, you don't have to report to jail until 6 a.m., so why don't you go out and party ahead of time? Enjoy yourself so that when you're in jail, you got something to remember. So Falca has set up this party at Prince Orlovsky's palace in the middle of Vienna. And that's where we are in the middle of the second act. We have started the night with the chorus being very excited to be invited to this place because everybody in the chorus has never been in a place like this before. Falca has brought in a bunch of folks to be fillers at this party who don't really know what's going on. We've been introduced to the prince, who is very bored with everything and only looking to be amused. And he throws these great parties that turn into, people do quite risque things at Orlovsky's party. He has quite a reputation for this. What we just did, where Rosalinda steals the watch that Eisenstein uses to get girls. He has this watch where he opens it up and it has this, plays this little tune, and the girls are always captivated by it. So she knows about this, and she's in disguise at this party, so Eisenstein does not recognize her. She has come in the guise of a Hungarian countess, and she and he have had a tete-a-tete, and she has managed to steal the watch from him, and now she's back in front of the whole crowd, And somebody says, I don't believe you're a Hungarian countess. And so she, it's almost like throwing down the gauntlet. She steps in front of everybody and proceeds to sing this number called the Csárdás to prove that she is truly Hungarian. And it's full of Hungarian dance tune themes and lots of vocal cavorting, high notes galore, and slow, passionate singing and fast dance-like singing, and it's quite a tour de force, and it happens right in the center of the opera. What happens right after that, and the audience goes nuts over it, is Falca brings everybody together, and they have a trio about the virtues of champagne, because everybody is getting well and soused by this time. And then he sings a beautiful little aria in the middle of this chorus number called Sing to Love, where everyone, it gets very romantic, and everyone sort of pairs up and has this beautiful romantic moment. And that's how the second act ends, with a lot of froth and just vivaciousness with the chorus and all the soloists.
And that's how we will wrap up the second half of the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour this evening. I want to get one more question to Christine Seitz, who's my guest on the show this week at intermission, and that is to talk about the Resident Opera Artist Program. You've got 1 year now under your belt, 1 year of experience.
Well, last summer was very exciting in that everything we envisioned actually came to pass, and the young artists were the equal of it. This program has been designed differently than other young artist programs in the country. Most young artist programs, the singers go and they're doing opera, they're getting coachings, they're doing nothing but that. This program has them doing their operatic roles, but it also has them getting involved in different kinds of concert programming. And one of the things Kirk Trevor has been very instrumental in is making sure that these young singers are comfortable talking to an audience and bringing the audience into what it is they're doing. I think it's absolutely vital for any performer in this day and age to be able to do that. And I think these singers last summer rose to the challenge and did it beautifully.
That's Christine Seitz. She's co-director of the Resident Opera Artist Program, which staged Die Fledermaus as part of Hot Summer Nights Music Festival 2016. We're in the midst of the broadcast of that opera from Johann Strauss Jr. here on the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour. The program continues next. Christine, thanks for taking some time to visit today.
Thanks, Trevor.